and the completion of the covenant that God has made with his elect, which we enter into through faith in his blood, and faith in his resurrection, and faith in his life, that we may be made like unto him, that we may grow up into him, as it is written, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as it is written, that we may lay aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of God, as it is written. So he had met with several of the disciples, but there was still unbelief among many who had not seen him. And then finally they see him, and he upbraided them for their unbelief. They had walked with him. They had seen the miracles. They had seen him raise others. And were they like the Pharisees now? He saved others, but couldn't save himself. Did they not know he could save himself? And save himself he did. Well, the Father saved him, but the Father and the Son are one. Whatsoever the Son does, the Father does also. By the Son. The actions of the Son are the actions of the Father. You know, the other day, in the last Bible study, I might have caused some people a bit of a stir when I said that why the centurion marveled at the death of Christ was because Christ laid his life down of his own accord. Well, I don't know, but they killed him, Paul. This is what Jesus had said in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus laid his own life down. So I say, and literally, in the end, he died at the moment he chose. It is finished. The work was done. He needed not to suffer longer. And so he died. He gave up the ghost. And they marveled that he was already dead. Crucifixion is a slow, agonizing death. And they didn't expect Jesus to die so quickly. That was quick. That's what they thought. The point is, it was less time than they had expected. And you can gather that from Mark. And it's confirmed by what I read in John 10, that Christ laid his life down. He laid it down. No man took his life from him. The Jews didn't kill Christ. The Romans didn't kill Christ. I didn't kill Christ. I was like when they said, it's like, we killed him. No, he laid his life down. Christ laid his own life down. No one took his life from him. No one killed Christ. They can't kill him. He laid it down. He suffered crucifixion and suffered death, but he laid his life down. No one forcibly took it from him. God brought him to the dust of death, and Christ laid his life down, that he could take it again. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And the signs did follow them. Now this verse is oddly controversial, but they're going to, cast out devils and take up serpents. These things literally happened to the apostles. And what about us? Should we be able to pick up snakes? Maybe. Remember, he also said those that believe could move mountains. And remember what I said about that. Unless you have a word, a commandment from God to go and do it, unless there's a purpose to pick up a serpent purely as a means to show off is not what God had intended. And you very well may get bit. And you very may well get hurt. As many do. It's not that they can perform all these things at will. It's just that these are the signs. These are signs by which you will know them. When they cast out a devil, that's a sign of someone who believes. When they speak with new tongues, it's a sign of someone who believes. It's a sign. It doesn't mean like, alright, they're going to do each one of these in sequence or something like that. I wouldn't knowingly drink poison. Don't tempt God. Some people would look at this verse and go back to the temptation of Christ. What did the temptation say? If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. What if Satan would say to you, if thou be a believer, drink some poison, for it is written, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall drink poison, they shall take up serpents. That's the devil speaking. It's not that we have the power to do this at will. He doesn't turn us into supermen. But as it is called for and as God requires it, it can be done. I have no doubt about that. It's like I have no doubt that God can raise the dead. But if I go to a funeral and lay people, I have doubts that if I walked into a funeral, I could just put my hands on some random guy and raise him from the dead. Don't think it's going to work. Why? God hasn't given me the faith. Why? Well, shouldn't you believe that? See, it has to be given to you to do it. It has to be given from God. You can't just take it to yourself either. God has to truly give it to us to do these works. As it was given to the apostles. Like when I spoke with new tongues, I didn't take it to myself. In fact, I was opposed to it. But when the Spirit came on me with such power that without even trying to talk, my lips moved involuntarily and completely involuntarily, like a seizure of the lips, but not so spasmodic. It's so hard to describe. You'd have to be there, really. And you know what? Other than having been there, I don't really have much else to say to you on that matter. You know, I could explain it, but I always feel like I degraded by trying to explain it because people are always going to, if you don't believe, you're always going to find some excuse. You're like, well, Paul, I think you genuinely felt that you had an experience, but obviously some other thing was at work. It was probably emotional, blah, 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 and I could cover all that. But you don't believe. Let it be a sign to you then. I believe. That's really all I have to say on the matter of the signs. Don't try to tempt God with these signs. Because God cannot be tempted. And he'll let you get bit. He'll let you get bit. Believe me, you handle a snake, it may not bite you. What about poison? I know a lot of snake handlers. I don't know a lot of, like, I don't know, cyanide drinkers. Where are the cyanide drinking churches? Yeah. Again, the snake handlers, you're tempting God. And you drink poison? Why don't you just throw yourself in front of a bus while you're at it? As someone told me once. If you know so much, throw yourself into the bus and then see what happens. I don't tempt God. Verses 15 and 16 deserve some attention. Preach the gospel. I was already preaching it before. You know? His death, burial, resurrection. What do they signify? What do they mean? What is the good news? How might we inherit eternal life? How might we turn from our sin and iniquities? Because repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.